The title of my message is We Are the Church, and how important it is to have a local body that we can be a part of. You know, and I think through the last several weeks, we've experienced some things where that time of separation from each other, you know, to me has kind of revealed some things. I know some things as a pastor that I need to maybe change in how I minister to the congregation and different things like this. So, you know, I hope we all learned some things. And, you know, like I say, we are excited to be back here today in the house of the Lord and to fellowship with each other as well as to worship, you know, being able to have corporate worship and to sing songs together. There's just something about that. I love the way that we all enter in. We clap, we raise our hands, and we get excited about what God's doing in our life, because when we open up to Him is when, you know, He reveals Himself to us. And see, that feeling that we get by coming here today of being connected, you know, to something bigger than ourselves is very liberating. You know, many of us can worship God at home. I know some people don't believe in the church coming together. They don't like to go. Whatever reason, they worship God in nature. But, you know, they're missing out on some things, because there's some things that it's okay to do alone, but some things are not. And to me, church was never meant to be done alone. It's something that we need to be doing with other people, other believers of like precious faith. The passage that I want to look at here today is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's in verse 9 and 10. And we're going to look at it first in the New American Standard, which is my main Bible that I preach out of. And then also I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a good translation. It's more in American slang, and it kind of gives a different picture of what it is, you know, that God wants us to see. Okay. New American Standard says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. But you are the ones God has chosen for the high calling of the priestly work, chosen to you to be a holy people." This is from the Message. It says, "God instruments to do His work and to speak for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference that He's made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted." Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, for the Word of God to be able to be manifest in each of our hearts. We thank You for the truth of the Word, Lord, that sets us free. Right now, Lord, I thank You for that anointing, that calling You put on my life. Lord, I use that gift just to glorify You. Lord, I pray that words both pierce and penetrate leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So, you know, the idea of church and what it's all about, like I said, we've been through a time of testing, you know, where people have done church differently. Some have adapted, maybe some have not. But the word church is talking about ecclesia. It's an assembly or called out ones. We know that church is not a building, but a group of believers. And still, it's awesome to have a place where we can come together, express our love for our Lord and for each other. So, we all know the church isn't a building. You know, the church is the people. You are the church, we are the church. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are the church. Amen. But it is nice to have a place to go. You know, Jesus says where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. But I don't know about you, but I like a few more than that. You know what I'm saying? I like to have a few more come together to be able to worship with each other of like precious faith. You know, those who are the called out ones. And we're going to look at that a little bit. And it's important that we see that. So we're going to look at three parts today of the church and what that's really talking about. We're going to see the church as a community. And then we're going to see the church as a family. And then we're going to see the church as a bride. Because all these three things is really who we are as born-again believers of God. So first, we look at the church as a community. Now, we know a community, we live in a community here in a small town, you know, and a community is a group of people sharing a common attitude, interests, and goals. So that's really kind of what it is. There's a lot of groups out there, you know, there's the Rotary, there's the 4-H, there's all these different groups, and that's fine and good. But our community is different. Our community is the called out ones. We're a group of people that have come together to serve a living God. Amen. And to be able to worship Him and fulfill the call that He's put on each of our lives. You know, the Bible says that we are the people of God. You know, what I like about it is the fact that we were once not a people, but now we are. Some people have a hard time accepting this, but before you knew Jesus Christ, you're a nobody. That's what it says here. We're a nobody without Christ, and I can accept that in my life. But once we meet Jesus, we become somebody. We become somebody that God can use, a vessel that He can work through. And that's exciting for us to be a part of that. So the first part of church that anybody experiences when they first start to come to the Lord is the idea of community. And that's kind of the outer circle. I want you to picture an outer circle, an inner circle, and then the center like a target. That's what I'm going to be looking at today. See, the outer circle is community. I remember when I first started going to church, I mean, I was a little bit, you know, nervous. Didn't know how I was going to fit in. I knew I wanted a life change inside of me. I had tried to fix myself several times in my life. Had a little bit of success, not a long-lasting success. But what happened is that when I knew that God was calling me out of darkness into His marvelous light, I had to do something. So I went to a church. So I kind of stayed on the outskirts of the church, you know what I mean? I was kind of afraid I would say something stupid. I was afraid I would mess up. But what happened in that process, God had touched certain people in that church to reach out to me, to touch me, and to try to share with me. And so they invited me a part of a group. And, you know, I remember a guy named Stuart. He reached out to me. You've heard maybe mention his name before. He asked me to be on the church softball team. I was still a heathen. You know, to me, I didn't deserve to be on the church team. I wasn't a church person. But yet he reached out to me and he invited to be a part of that. And with that, that sense of belonging is what it did in my life, that I was a part of something else, not just me. It led me deeper and deeper in Christ. And see, that's an important thing that we need to understand. So the importance of being able to come to a place to experience congregational worship, where there's other people around you, where you're starting to come into the presence of God and you kind of lock arms with other people around you and allow them to be a part of your life. And see, that's the idea of what community is all about. You know, there's something special about doing church together. See, we didn't really find that out. Sometimes we can get lulled into a place of complacency. You know, some people, you know, I'm sure there's some people probably didn't even know that church has been canceled for over a month. You know what I'm saying? Because they only come every couple months. You know, they say, what? You guys didn't have church? Wow. No, I'm just kidding. Really, I'm kidding out there. So the idea of what it means to come together and how important it is to experience Jesus Christ together. Because as this, you know, quarantine, you know, we was doing online services all the time. And, you know, it was really weird for me, you know, because I kind of like feedback when I'm talking a little bit in a sense and preaching. And so it was kind of different. But being in that room over there, just a few of us, and we just did it. And then it was over. And then, boom, it's done. You know, it's so different. You can't really share the experience with other people. You know, I think back right before we had to stop having services together, the last service we had here at the church, some of you may remember it. You know, we had like an open mic thing where we just had a microphone up here and different people in the congregation, or some would just stand up where they were and they would pray, or they would come up and just share something. It was probably one of the greatest services we've had, you know, here at the church for quite some time. I didn't even preach the gospel, so then you know it's really good, right, when I don't have to preach, amen? But anyway, you know, just people just coming up and just praying. Amen. And just sharing their heart. And see, that's what we do as a community. That's what we do together. And to be able to see what God is doing in each of our lives and how important it is to be able to share that with other people. So the church is a community of people called together for a special purpose or mission. See, River Life, we have a special purpose or mission that we're called to do. Every church has that. Now, we have some similarities, you know, in what churches do, but we each have our own little flavor on what we're called to do. And when to see that we're a part of the church, number one, this passage says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, you know, we've been chosen. I don't know about you, but I love it when I get chosen. You know, when you're, you know, wanting to play on a team. You know, I used to hate in basketball when you had to shoot free throws to be on a team, because that always meant I'm going to be on the bad team, you know what I'm saying? You know, because I'd miss the free throw. You know, I loved it when we just picked sides. You know, people would choose you. See, God has chosen you. He has called you out of darkness. He has said, I want you. I want you to be a part of my family. And if you've accepted that call and you're born again, then you're part of the chosen. And God has a special plan for your life. He has something that uniquely that you've been called to do. The Bible says also that we've been called to be royalty. You know, we're royal priesthood. We're going to look at that here in a minute. And the idea of what it means to be royalty. See, once I came in and I became a royal priesthood, I don't really care about what's happening over in England with the, you know, all the royals and all the problems they're having. You know, everybody makes a big to-do about what, you know, this person's doing or that person's doing. You know, I just care about what God's doing. Amen. You know, because we're part of a royal priesthood. We've been brought up out of the lower areas of life, and God has placed us in a special place with Him. We rule and reign with Him. We've been called out of darkness into His light. And the Bible says, which is really out there for some people, this is going to really break some people's theology, but God has made us holy. See, to be holy, you know, some believe that you have to die and go through a bunch of processes and all this thing. But the Bible says something totally different. The Bible says that if you're a born-again child of God, you know, this is the legal part. We may not act like it all the time, but we've been sanctified, and we're a holy one, and we're called to take a precious message to a lost and dying world. And God has imparted to us this great responsibility. I praise God for the people that reached out to me, the people that made me feel a part, that accepted me and says, hey, come on along with us. You know, we want to lead you to meet our King. We want to lead you to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. See, it's nothing that, see, you're not born a Christian. The Bible says you have to be born again, and we need to come into that place. So the purpose of why we need to meet together, like I said, church is doable at home. We did it for a while. You know, you can, you know, watch church on TV and on the internet and all these things. You know, and you may think you're growing, but we're going to go into that a little bit. You are growing a little bit. But there's a purpose for corporate worship. There's a purpose for coming to a local congregation and being a part of it and allowing God to work in your life. The first thing is something we've done already, is that we meet together for worship. Now, worship can be done in other things. We worship God in our giving, and we're not going to take up another offering at this time, so don't get nervous. But giving is a part of our worship. Also, at the time when we play songs, we play more contemporary music here. You know, the kind that you hear on the radio. I like it. You know, people come here and they like the worship. You know, they come for the preaching, but they stay for the worship. It should be the other way around, in my opinion. But anyway, you know, a lot of people have said that when they came here, the worship was so different, they didn't know how to act. But then after a while, it's their favorite part. I don't take it personally. You know, I still do my part. But you know, the worship, being able to come together and to be able to feel the presence of God. You know, when a body of believers unite their faith together and to be able to cry out to a living God, the presence of God comes. And we each get touched in a miraculous way. And God makes a difference in us on the inside. And it changes us into the things and to the people that He's called us to do. Second, after worship, is that it's for fellowship and edification. You know, one of our mottos here is that we're better together. Everybody needs fellowship. You know, maybe you're a person that doesn't like to get close with other people and stuff. But for long, you really know deep down inside you need people, right? We all know that. You know, maybe we're an introvert and we don't really feel like we need to connect. But deep down inside, I believe everybody wants to connect. And that's why we need the fellowship. We need to be able to chit-chat with each other and to be able to share our stories with each other and what God's doing. We need to edify each other, lift each other up. You know, not everybody has a good day every day. Does anybody have a good day every day? I don't think so. Every now and then we need other people in our life. you know, to come in and just say, hey, it's going to be okay. You've been through this before. You can make this. You can get there. You know, we need that. Next, we need discipleship. Discipleship is a word that is a foreign object to the church in America many times because, you know, we don't want to allow people to come in and to mess with our stuff a little bit. But with discipleship, it's talking about, you know, understanding the new life. You know, when I first came to church, I really didn't know all the words. You know, I knew very few of them. I cussed a few of them, you know, back in the day, but I didn't really know what a lot of them were. You know, when I got saved back in the day, I thought the book of Job was the book of Job. You know, that's how silly I was. So I didn't have a lot of Bible training. But what happened, though, through the discipleship and through that process, is I come, first, there's two things that happen. There's understanding the new life, and then there's putting to death the old life. Now, understanding the new life is the legal part of our redemption. It's the legal part of understanding who we are in Christ. It's the idea of being able to come to Him to understand that Jesus Christ has given us a fresh start, a new life. That's why I like the terminology born again. You know, it's kind of like I picture the old caterpillar going in the cocoon and coming out and being a butterfly. I mean, butterflies are cool, ain't they? You know, they're nice. You know, I'm not really into the tadpole frog deal. I mean, that's all good too, but I like the butterfly picture better. But, you know, the idea of that new life and what it means to be able to come to Christ and to get that fresh start. Well, praise God for the fresh start. But also, have you all noticed that we still have to work on some things in our life? You know, just because we become born again doesn't mean we become perfect. We don't become everything that we're supposed to be. See, that's where we need to learn to crucify the old man. You know, not by hanging ourselves on a cross or masochism and all these different things, but it comes by understanding that through the Word of God and through the Spirit, we extinguish that old life's passions. And it comes by renewing our mind through the Word of God, hanging out with other success stories. I see a lot of success stories here today. You know, those who have come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And I'll be honest, some of y'all surprised me. You know, I said, oh man, that one's never going to make it. And you surprised me. No, I'm kidding. You know, I believe everybody can make it. You know, and just to see that growth and that change that happens, it's powerful. And then after that, after we've done the worship fellowship and discipleship, you know, we're thinking about mission and outreach to the world. You know, God has called us to prepare the next generation for ministry, but He's also called us to reach a lost and dying world. See, that's what we're called to do as a community. Jesus says, go ye, and that meant go me, right? Or go you. So, as a church, we just don't get to gather together. We also need to gather people. And that's what we need to do. And that's where your part comes in, as well as my part. As a pastor, I still gather people. You know, that's part of my thing. But technically, you know, you also are ministers, and we're going to look at that. And the idea of you going out to gather people. And it's important that we reach out. You know, we need to be adding to the church daily. You know, years ago, we haven't heard this concept for a while. But when we first started the church, it was just, you know, us four and no more almost. I mean, we had just a handful of people. And, you know, as we started to pick up some extra people, you know, some of the people would, just a couple, they would come up and say, oh, I don't really want to grow. I go, what? You know, new concept here. I've never heard this one before. You know, I always thought, you know, you wanted to, you know, reach out to people and to kind of grow and stuff like that. They said, no, yeah, we don't want to grow. We just want to keep our church about this size. And so we can be kind of like a family. As you could probably guess, I did not put them in charge of marketing. You know what I mean? You know, I didn't want to, you know, they're not on the evangelism team. You know, we've kind of made another spot for them, you know. But anyway, that leads me to my next point, is that the church is a family. And we need that feeling. So it goes from community where it's out there. Picture a bullseye. The outer ring is community. Well, the inner ring is talking about family. And see, that's what church is. See, a family shares blood together. Now, you all probably got some blood kin, right? You got either brothers or sisters, you know, maybe moms, dads, uncles, aunts, you know. And some, you may not share a lot of things in common, but one thing you do share together, and that's blood. You know, you come from the same family. But see, it's similar to that in the family of Christ, the body of Christ, because what we do is we share two things. We share blood and we share spirit. See, it's the blood of Jesus that redeemed us and called us out and brought us into this family. But then it's also the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, the Bible says in Romans, that we are the children of God. So you got the blood and the spirit, you know, testifying, shall we say, that we are part of the family of God. And like I said, you step out of community and see, that's our growth process. You know, it's kind of like when you come into a church, you kind of find a place all by yourself. Of course, we have to now, kind of for the social spacing or whatever you talk about. But you know, when you're community, you come in and you kind of hang to the back. That's what I did. Well, then as I got to know people, and then I started to connect more. And this people that I started to do church with, they became my family. You know, we started to share stuff together. We started to do things, go out to eat together. We started to do some fun things together. And see, that's the next step that we need to take, and I hope you've made that next step. Hope you've stepped out of community and come into family when you're a part of this church. And maybe you're listening to me today, you know, by either, you know, audio or video. You know, I hope you come in. You know, I believe River Life's the best church in this area, praise God, or we wouldn't be here, amen? No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of good churches out there. But we want you to come be a part of our church, because I know what we can do. I know how we can help you. I know that we can bring you into a deeper place of God and find out why God really put you on this planet. See, we can still grow large and still keep that family atmosphere. It's all about our attitude. It's all about wanting to connect. It's all about wanting to be a part, you know, of what God's doing. See, God is our Father, we know that. Jesus is our elder son, and we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I know that not all brothers and sisters get along, right? You know, but hopefully we do here. Every now and then you're going to, you know, maybe have some disagreements. You know, we're not a perfect church because I'm here and I'm not perfect, so I wrecked it for everybody, I guess. But see, nobody's perfect. Just like I say, you know, I've had a bad meal at a restaurant. That doesn't mean I quit going out to eat. And see, that's one of the things I miss the most about this quarantine. Every now and then I like to go out to eat. I just like to be served. You know what I'm saying? It's worth the tip. Amen. You know, just to have somebody, you know, bring it to you and then take the stuff away. But see, just because I've had a bad meal doesn't mean I quit going out. A lot of people say, oh, I've been to church and had a bad experience. Well, boo-hoo. Get over it, you know. I mean, they're just looking for excuses. You know, I just want to challenge you. Quit looking for excuses and start looking for solutions. Amen. You know, I went out to eat, same restaurant, had a good meal. Gave him another chance. You know what I mean? And I had a great meal, and it was awesome. So we just need to kind of start seeing the bigger picture. The Bible says here, as part of the family, we're a part of a royal priesthood. Now, if you really looked at yourself, you know, in that light where you see yourself as royalty, you know. But, you know, in the Old Testament, they had a couple guys that did ministry. You had your priest and your prophet, right? The prophet, well... they were the kind of guys that called down fire. They were my favorite. You know, I really enjoyed the prophet. But then you had the priest too. That was a good job. See, the prophet spoke on behalf of God, and the priest ministered to the Lord and to the people. And see, we're all part of a royal priesthood. And we're part of a family that does ministry together. See, one of the things I really enjoyed about the quarantine was the fact my daughter came back and we could do ministry together. And that was exciting because, you know, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and put us in the ministry. And each of us here is in the ministry today. You know, there is no hierarchy in the New Testament in a sense where the pastor and the apostle, prophet, you know, the five, you know, that they just do everything. Our job is to train people to do the work of the ministry. Not because we're lazy, but it's that we want to share the wealth. I'll tell you, the greatest feeling you're going to get in life is when you serve other people, is when you make a difference in somebody else's life. You know, it's not about just, you know, being a spectator, but it's about being a participator in what God's doing. See, a family also laughs and cries together, and we share life together. See, the church is not a building that we attend or an event, or it's not a building we go to or an event we attend, but it's a spiritual family that we belong to. And we're all spiritual family here. We're by this Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus. And we've all went through some things with this COVID-19 thing that was just different. You know, a lot of us don't know how to act, and it is awkward. You know, as people walked in today, they want to shake a hand, or they want to, you know, we don't do the holy kiss in here yet. You know, maybe we'll grow into that. We'll give a holy hug. You know, I do a side hug, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the idea of just, it's just awkward. And during this situation, you know, see, a church family laughs and cries together. You know, we've had situations that we've had to learn how to deal with. You know, we laid our brother Mike to rest. Some of his family's here today. You know, that was hard because a church family couldn't really be a part of that. You know, the immediate family could, but due to restrictions, it was just difficult. And so it was hard not to be able to cry with maybe somebody else in our body that was hurting. And also, we've had some children in the church, you know, that's had birthdays and different things, and they had little drive-by parties, but that was hard. We couldn't laugh and celebrate with them and eat cake, you know what I mean? You know, all those things. So it's different. Things that a family experiences together, we weren't, you know, shall we say, be able to do. You know, church families share life, whether good or bad. You know, it's just what we do, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to open ourselves up to want to be there for other people, because a family will bear one another's burdens. You remember that old thing we talked about several years ago? The word oikos? That's a cool, I like that word, oikos. But what it means is it's a home or an extended household. And see, we all have an oikos, people that's in our close proximity. You know, it's said that most people have 8 to 15 people that's part of their oikos or on the front burner of their life. Those people that we do life with every day, whether it be family members or close friends, and they do things together. And that's good. And hypothetically, they're the ones that we feel most comfortable with. Although on Facebook, you would be led, you know, to know other things that family don't always see eye to eye, but that's another point. But what I want to challenge us today is that I know you have your close ones, but I want you to open up and pay attention to some of the people that are on the back burner of your life. Now, you got your front burner and you got your back burner people. You know what I mean? And see, we need to think about those back burner people. You know, we need to reach out of that close inner circle and to be able to target people. I want us to now think of three people that we could reach out to and bring into church. Three people that you could do evangelism to, that you could take off your back burner and bring them to the front burner of your life. Maybe by prayer, just being friendly and inviting them to come to worship the Lord. And I believe that's a good thing. Just think how we would triple in size if we each got three. Think about that. It's expanding our mind. Have you ever been to a family reunion? I want you to think about this for a minute. You know, a family reunion, you're not just supposed to sit with your immediate family. The purpose of a family reunion is to get to know people that you don't know. I remember going to a family reunion a time or two, but one of them that I remember is that, you know, on my mom's side of the family, and them women can cook. I'll tell you what, it's the best food you've ever had. No offense to anybody else. But we went in there, and we all went through the line, and I looked, and at each table was just immediate family. My mom had three sisters, and at this table was one sister and her kids. Another sister, her kids. Our table, us. What was the purpose of that family reunion? I could have ate at home. You know what I mean? So I got up, and I know my wife did. She's more social than I am. She's probably over there with somebody else anyway, but you know. But went and tried to sit with other people and get to know them. They're my cousins. They're people, you know, I've known them my whole life. And see, that's what we do. You know, there's people in this church, it amazes me. We're not a huge church, but yet people still don't know, when I mention somebody's name, who's that? Dude, do you go out and meet anybody? You know, come on. Go out and shake some hands. You know, I'm not very good at names. I'm good at faces, you know. But I've been trying to get better. But see, we need to get to know other people. We need to sit with our cousins sometime. You know, I want you to think about this. The church is full of friends that you never knew you had. And that's true. Because I'll be honest, I could be more introverted if I really went to my regular place that I like to be and not have to go out and talk a lot. You know, my old attitude used to be, I'll never see these people again. So why talk to them? You know, has anybody ever had that attitude? Is it just me? I don't know. But then I got to thinking, well, I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out of their life, and maybe I can share my life with them. So I started to change the way that I perceived things and the way that I wanted to do things so that I could, you know, meet more people. And see, after we've come into community, and then we've also been a part of the family, we've made that next step. Next, I want to look at the idea of the bride, what the bride's all about. Now, like I've always said, you know, for a man, it's hard for me to see myself putting on a wedding dress, but hey, I don't believe God's going to make us do that. You know what I'm saying? I just can't picture him, you know. He wants to humble us, but that'd be more than humbling. I think that'd be humility. But the Bible talks about the church being the bride of Christ. The Bible says here that we are a people for God's own possession. What I see from that is that we need to have an exclusive relationship with the Lord. We don't need to chase after other gods or other things. Now, what I feel in my life, and I think most people probably agree with this, especially most of the men in here, I don't want to share my bride with anyone, and I don't believe the Lord wants to share his bride either. And we need to get to that point where we have chosen to make that next step a commitment, because you can be a part of a community, it's a lower commitment level, isn't it? Because you can come and go as you please. You can do what you want, when you want, just because you want to. But then when you come be a part of a family, it's a little deeper responsibility. It's a deeper commitment, because when you're a part of a family, you need to pitch in, you need to help out. But then when you choose to come to that one relationship that you've given yourself to that person, that's a deeper responsibility. And that's what I believe that God's wanting us to do. Picture that target, the outer rings community, the inner rings is family. Well, guess who's in the center? That's Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where we need to be heading towards. We need to be heading towards that target. That target where we start to stop missing the mark. See, we each share a sacred and special relationship with our Lord. Because like I said, we keep coming in out of that circle. And see, and what I want you to understand, now this is going to be a little more deeper, and you really got to think this part through and see if it bears witness with you. But if we're not willing to get close to others, it's going to hinder us getting close to God. If you're the person that keeps people at arm's length away from you, it's going to hinder your intimate relationship with the Lord. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not saying you can't be saved. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with the Lord. But I know what I've experienced in my life, that when I've allowed more people into my life, I have grown closer to the Lord. It has opened me up so that I could experience Jesus in a deeper way. And it's a step that's scary sometimes, because maybe we've been hurt, or maybe we've had something go on. Maybe somebody hasn't kept the confidence they should have, or whatever the case may be. But I want to challenge you to trust. Trust again. Trust Jesus. And start to experience that by learning from other people and doing Jesus together. See, emotional trust issues can affect our spiritual trust in God. And that's why, I'm not saying just go blab everything you know to people and trust are going to keep a secret. No, but I believe that if you've done your homework and you've started to be part of the community, and then you've started to be part of a family, I believe you're going to find some people in this congregation that you can do life together with. I believe that you can build deeper relationships. And in opening yourself up, start to experience God in a way that He intended for us to have. See, Satan is what? He's a divider. He's one that tries to keep us separated. You know, he's the author of confusion. You know, in our country today, you got about a 50-50 split, right? Some people, if somebody loves this, half the other people hate it. and vice versa. That's just the way it is. That's just the devil's way. You know, there's no middle ground anymore, and we need to get to that place where we can start to learn and to walk with God together. See, when we learn how to give love and receive love is when we start to heal. And that's important. When we start to learn how to give and receive love. Not the kind of emotional or erotic love that the world wants to get us into. I'm talking about that committed love, you know, that love that never fails, you know, the God kind of love. That's the love that He has for you and I. And see, what I see is that love has to have a target. You can say you love people, but if you never have a target to express that love, you don't really have the love. Love has to have a target. It may be somebody you don't even like. It may be somebody that's maybe hurt you, but love has to have that target. Love has to have that target to be able to reach out to them, to be able to mend them fences and to bring people together. See, God's called us to rule and reign with Him, and we can't really reign unless we're healed. You know what I'm saying? You know, it would be dangerous. That's why God wants discipleship. That's why God wants to grow up in Him. You know, so that we'll extend courtesy, we'll extend grace. You know, it's sad when we expect grace, but yet we won't give grace to our brother or sister. You know what I'm saying? So God wants us to grow up, and that way we can rule and reign with Him. Then He can trust us with the good stuff. You know, church, you know, and this is a little different way of looking at it, but we're not just a trophy wife. Many of you know what a trophy wife was. I got one. You know, she's a good-looking woman. But we're not just a trophy wife. You know, but we're a trophy of grace. You know, grace was extended to us, and it brought us out of that darkness, and now it's put us in a different place. But see, we need to be a working partner with our Lord. You know, we need to be a wife. I thank God for my wife. We do ministry together. We do things together. You know, when it comes to serving God. You know, I don't have to ask her twice. She just hops right in. And see, that's the bride that Jesus is looking for. He doesn't want a bride just to sit there. I mean, I remember the story, you know, a guy told me it's been a while back, that when they would have family get-togethers, that one of the people wouldn't ever pitch in and help out. They would just sit there and make an 80-year-old grandma or whatever, a great-grandma, clean the dishes and do everything, and this young person would just sit there on their hiney. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's not family. That's not being a part of a good bride, you know. That's if somebody just wants to sit back and look pretty. And, you know, I'm all about pretty, but I'm about practical too. That's just how I roll, you know what I'm saying? And it's important. So He has raised us up to be rule and reign with Him over creation. Now, something I want us to think about is that how, and you probably found this out if you're married today, husband and wife need to be on the same page. You know what I'm saying? You know? Some people just shoot for the same book. You know what I mean? But we need to be on the same page. Because that's better, because there's a reason. See, the family is stronger when man and wife are walking together in unity. When a husband and wife walk in unity, it helps the kids. Big time. It's important we get to that. And then the community, is stronger when they see a strong family. See, when people come from the outside and come into the church and they're part of that outer community, they need to see a strong family in that church. They need to see that, because that's going to draw them in. And see, that's what we need. They need to see that strong family. And see, if we are willing to make that step, then God's going to start to move. And this all happens when the bride has given herself totally to the Lord. I want to challenge us to give ourselves totally to the Lord. You know, community's good. That's a start. But don't stop there. Some people's been stuck in community for 20 years. They've never been part of family. You need to make that next step. And then family is good. But don't lull yourself to sleep thinking that's all there is. Then it's about getting intimate. And that's what a bride does with the groom. That's what we need to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, picture that bullseye. The outer ring represents community. The inner rings represent family. And the bullseye is Jesus Christ. And that's the mark that you and I need to hit. In our relationship with Jesus and His church, we need to always be heading towards the center. We need to come from the outside and come to the center. Community leads the family. Family teaches connection and prepares us for intimacy with the bride. And we all learn all these things by connected to the local church, because we are the church. Let's pray.